Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Today, I want to start a very special series leading up to Christmas Day. And in the process, I'm going to use my Christmas acronym. I'm going to try to work through all of the letters. And you might guess what the first letter might be. I'm not going to tell you what the rest of the letters are, but you probably can guess what the C in Christmas stands for. It stands for the word and the reality, Christ. In this short journey towards Christmas, I want to zero in on that word, the word Christ, because Christ is a title that comes from the Greek Christos, which is a rendering of the Hebrew word Messiah, and it means anointed one. As such, the Christ of Christmas is the long-awaited Messiah who fulfills all the types and shadows of the Old Testament scriptures. So to fully grasp the significance of the anointed one's messianic role, you have to drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, St. Paul, just as the rest of the scripture does, he takes the Old Testament history of Israel and he interprets it as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Christ that we celebrate as we move toward Christmas Day. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul refers to Adam as a pattern, literally as a type of Jesus Christ. And likewise, he taught the Colossian Christians that the dietary laws, the religious festivals, the Sabbath of the Old Covenant were, well, they were just a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. The interpretive principle of typology is equally persuasive in the Gospels. Christ's successful resistance of temptation in the desert after 40 days of fasting is a direct typological contrast to the disobedience of the Israelites, disobedience that resulted in 40 years of wilderness wanderings. In remaining faithful to his Father, Christ did what Israel was unable to do. Christ, he is thus true Israel, and all found in Christ are heirs according to the promises God made to Abraham. Moreover, Christ is revealed as the antitype, that to which the type points. He is the antitype of the Hebrew prophets through his preaching of repentance, his ministry of healing, and his concern for the poor and the social outcasts. And obviously as well, through his death near Jerusalem. Though like the prophets, in all of these ways, Christ is shown to be far greater than all the previous prophets in the manner of his miraculous ministry, his claims to be God, and of course, the vindication of those claims in the glorious resurrection. According to Luke's gospel, Jesus himself, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, explained to his disciples what was said in all scripture concerning himself. So as you ponder the Christ of Christmas, remember that he alone could emerge through the doorway of the Old Testament scriptures. But there's another name for Christ. That name is the Anointed One. And it's codified in the word Emmanuel. When Isaiah, the holiest man in all of Israel, prophesied the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, he was literally predicting that in the future the one who spoke the limitless galaxies into existence would himself tabernacle in flesh among all of us. And that's precisely what the word Emmanuel means. It means God with us. I cannot help but think of our Lord's own words concerning the reason he condescended to cloak himself in human flesh. He said it himself. The Son of Man came to seek. He came to save that which was lost. And that is the very meaning of salvation. Because salvation is precisely what Jesus embodies. The Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua quite literally means that Yahweh is salvation. As such, Jesus came into the world for the very purpose of saving sinners. The salvation which Jesus embodies means so much more than being saved from sin, because we have been saved for sonship, saved to be divinely adopted sons and daughters of God. And thus forgiveness is the precondition for God's greater gift, the gift that will last beyond our death, the gift of divine life. It may therefore be said with absolute certainty that for we who have been shipwrecked, the port of salvation is not the sole goal. The goal is the resumption of a journey whose sole goal is union with God. You and I are destined for fellowship in the Holy Trinity, for sharing in the life of God as God has shared in our humanity through incarnation. That's the very life that matters more that I wrote about in Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Since the Christ we celebrate at Christmas is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, it should not surprise us in the least that prophecies regarding him outnumber all other biblical prophecies. And many of these prophecies could not have been fulfilled in some kind of conspiratorial fashion. How could you conspire to descend from Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, or to be born in Bethlehem, or to be crucified with criminals, or to have your hands and feet pierced on a Roman cross, or predict that the soldiers would be gambling for your clothes, or that your side would be pierced and your bones not broken at your death, or, for that matter, your burial among the rich. Perhaps the most beloved of all Old Testament prophecies is encapsulated in the words of Isaiah. 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, he wrote, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Possessor of Eternity, the Prince of Peace." Only Messiah, born of a virgin, could match the meaning of such majestic monikers. And not only so, but the Christ who walked through the doorway of Isaiah's messianic prophecy, he made the ultimate prediction. Remember those words? "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Over the years, I've discovered time and time again that messianic prophecy is the golden key that unlocks the hearts of even hard-boiled skeptics. I'm going to come back from the break. I want to talk about the H in my Christmas acronym. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Stay tuned. Again, after the break, we're going to proceed through the acronym to the H in Christmas. I hope all of you will pay close attention to the words. And as I go to break, I do thank all of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are making a difference all around the globe. We'll be right back with the H in Christmas.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The five books of John are an unparalleled literary masterpiece that provide a majestic tapestry of the whole of redemptive history. Five books of John will help you draw closer to Christ and live the authentic Christian life. This premier production from the Word of Promise features an all-star cast of actors, and Hank Hanegraaff introduces each of John's five books with his memorable Legacy acronym summarizing vital background information, facts regarding location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. Presented in dramatic audio theater, Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art audio technology, sound effects, and an original music score. To receive the CRI edition of the Five Books of John audio Bible on CD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and back to working through our Christmas acronym. In this segment, I want to talk about the H in Christmas, that H being history. Jesus Christ stands at the very apex of human history. And therefore, I can say with a certainty that Christmas is not about reveling in mythology. It's about celebrating events that are rooted and grounded in historical fact. As St. Paul explains, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son born of a woman born under law to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. As such, the babe of Bethlehem is the fulfillment of both the law and of the prophets. The primary reason that Christians believe in miracles like Christ's virgin birth, is that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. To begin with, the Bible has stronger manuscript support than any other work of classical history. That includes Homer, Aristotle, Caesar, and Tacitus. Equally amazing is the fact that the Bible has been virtually unaltered since the original writing. And that's been attested to by scholars who have compared the earliest extant manuscripts with manuscripts written centuries later. Let me add something else. The reliability of the Bible is affirmed by the testimony of its authors. Authors who were eyewitnesses or close associates of eyewitnesses to the recorded events and by ancient secular historians who confirmed the many events, people, places, and particulars that are chronicled in the Scripture. Furthermore, archaeology is a very, very powerful witness to the accuracy of the New Testament documents. Repeatedly, comprehensive archaeological fieldwork, along with careful biblical interpretation, affirm the reliability of the Bible. For example, recent archaeological finds have corroborated biblical details surrounding the trial that led to the fatal torment of Jesus Christ, and that includes Pontius Pilate, who ordered Christ's crucifixion, as well as Caiaphas, the high priest, who presided over the religious trials of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's telling when secular scholars have to revise their biblical criticisms in light of solid archaeological evidence. One more point in this regard is that the Bible records predictions of events that could not be known nor predicted by chance or common sense. Let me give you an example. Against all odds, Jesus predicted the destruction of Jerusalem and the Jerusalem temple within a generation. This is a prophecy fulfilled by the Roman general Titus in AD 70, and it is statistically preposterous that any or all of the Bible's specific detailed prophecies could have been fulfilled through chance, through good guessing, or through deliberate deceit. I say that because today, as you ponder the history of Christmas, you can be assured that the Scriptures that chronicle the historical certainty of Christ's coming in flesh are demonstrably rooted in history and evidence. And yet at this time, there are those who are bent on destroying the historical certainty of Christ's coming in flesh. Year by year during the Christmas season, they communicate the same disinformation. I'm thinking right now about Dr. John Crossan. co-founder of the wildly popular Jesus Seminar. He uses all kinds of platforms, but certainly uses NBC as a platform to pontificate that while Luke tells us that at the time Jesus was born, Augustus decreed a census, he says every scholar will tell you that there was no such census. Never, ever. So how do we respond to critics? We should know that the historical Caesar Augustus was famous for taking census. In fact, so famous that in reality, this issue is no longer even debated among credible historians. The famed Jewish historian Josephus refers to a Roman taxation in AD 6, and considering the scope of that taxation, it is logical to assume that it took a long time to complete. It began with Caesar Augustus around 5 BC and was likely completed a decade later. Furthermore, Luke, as a meticulous historian, notes that the census took place when Quirinius served as governor of Syria. The Romans took 40 years to get a census done in Gaul. So for a province 1,500 miles away from Rome to take a decade is eminently reasonable. Moreover, since the census came in under the administration of Quirinius, it should correctly be labeled as that very thing. And not only that, but given Luke's impeccable credentials as a historian, it would have been far more honest and circumspect for someone like Crossan to temper his dogmatic, television-fueled falsehoods. Finally, one need only remember the experience of the brilliant archaeologist Sir William Ramsay. I've talked about him before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because he, like Crossan, was bent on undermining Luke's historical reality. But what happened? Through his painstaking Mediterranean archaeological adventures, he discovered that one after the other, the historical allusions that Luke provides are indeed accurate. If, as Ramsay points out, Luke did not err in referencing a plethora of countries and cities and islands and all the details that surrounded them, then there is absolutely no reason to doubt him concerning the census. I say all of that because today, as ever, it's so important for you to be able to counter the fallacious claims of the historical deniers. To, as Peter put it, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why? Because if we cannot equip our own children regarding the reality of Christ coming in flesh, how in the world can we say we're committed to evangelizing the world? And remember, even if you don't have an answer at your fingertips, you can always research and return. As such, you can use your well-reasoned answer as an opportunity to share the grace and truth, the light that only the Christ of Christmas can bring into the human heart. As I think about equipping our children, I think about a quote that I've used on the Bible Answer Man broadcast from time to time. It comes from Jacob Neusner. It's worth memorizing. He's one of the most published authors in all of history. And he reminds us that civilization hangs suspended from generation to generation by the gossamer strand of memory. If only one cohort of mothers and fathers fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its parents, then the great chain of learning and wisdom snaps. If the guardians of human knowledge stumble only one time, in their fall collapses the whole edifice of knowledge and understanding. That's why the history is so important to communicate to our children so that they can communicate that history to their children and their grandchildren as well. Remember, if only one cohort of mothers and fathers fails in this process, the great chain of learning and wisdom snaps. Well, today, we talked about the Christ of Christmas, the C in my Christmas acronym, and the history of Christmas, Christ coming in flesh. Tomorrow, I want to continue this journey by talking about the R in my Christmas acronym. You have to stay tuned tomorrow to know what I'm talking about. And as I close this broadcast, once again, I want to thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Your giving makes a difference in the lives of multitudes around the world. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The five books of John are an unparalleled literary masterpiece that provide a majestic tapestry of the whole of redemptive history. Five books of John will help you draw closer to Christ and live the authentic Christian life. This premiere production from the Word of Promise features an all-star cast of actors, and Hank Hanegraaff introduces each of John's five books with his memorable Legacy acronym summarizing vital background information, facts regarding location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. Presented in dramatic audio theater, Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art audio technology, sound effects, and an original music score. To receive the CRI edition of the Five Books of John audio Bible on CD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.